Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network on this Thursday, December 21st. Thank you for listening. Joining me in studio is Fred Jackson.
Hey, Tim.
Tagliano, Steve Paisley, Jordahl. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning.
And Ray Pritchard. Good morning again, Ray.
Good morning, Tim.
We got 25 more minutes, folks, of excellent radio here on American Family Radio. I'm remote today, as is Ray. So Steve, Fred, and Ed are back in the studio. Brent Creeley, our producer. Brent, is Brent still on the board?
I'm here.
Okay. How are we sounding today, Brent? And by we, I mean my remote signal.
Sounds much better than the other day.
Yeah.
Much better.
Okay. We got some complaints the other day that my mic wasn't working right, right?
That's correct. But we have...
It wasn't me.
No, it wasn't me. Technical. Huh? Technical issues that we have
issues.
Rectified.
It wasn't Tim. I mean...
Technically, it wasn't Tim.
And we also got you out of that cave you were in, so that helped.
Was it a cave sounding? See, yeah. I couldn't tell.
It sounded like a tin can.
Cave underwater or something like that.
A tin can, what? What'd you say, Steve?
Sound like a cave underwater. It was hard to hear.
Yeah, I don't know. I've never heard of people doing radio in a cave underwater.
No, but you were the first.
We might try that.
You're a pioneer.
See how that works out for us. All right. Steve, what? Bring forth unto us the news.
All right. I will save this for the end. I just found my New Year's Day or whatever dinner recipe. That sounds
See, now you
so
can't
good.
Save it to the end.
Well, okay.
Now we all want to know what you're talking about.
Whole roasted
lead with it.
Whole roasted squash with tomato, ginger, chickpeas.
Anything that's got squash in it, I
butternut squash?
Don't like.
Oh my God. Butternut squash is the best.
Say that again, Steve. Whole roasted.
Whole what? Roasted squash with tomato, ginger, chickpeas.
Okay, now what is this for?
It's for New Year's Day. If I'm cooking for New Year's Day.
It's like people have black-eyed peas for New Year's.
I had promised that I was going to bring my chocolate chili in for Tim and for Ed, and I'm going to wait till Tim and you get back for
chocolate
to do that.
But chili?
Chocolate chili?
Yeah.
That
was my reaction.
Some to Kansas City. I never heard of such, but okay.
Yeah. All right. Hey, let's get back.
Hold on just a minute. Just one other thing on this.
Yes.
Don't knock it till you try it, right? Isn't that what we say about food?
Yeah, I don't believe that either.
Okay, I don't either, but, you know, that's what they say. So you have a whole squash, right?
Yeah.
And you do what to this squash?
Well, you bake it.
Uh-huh.
Get it all nice and soft and tasty.
Over an open fire.
And then you split it down the middle, and so you have like a half a squash. You combine chickpeas or garbanzo beans, whatever you want to call them, with some tomato and ginger, and you bake that. It kind of gets soft, and it goes on the squash, and then you top that with some like sour cream and chives.
Yeah, you know what I'm going to be eating on New Year's Day? Nachos. That's what I'm going to eat. Not squash with garbanzo beans and ginger.
I was with you right up to the sour cream on top.
You don't
of
have
that.
To do that's just garnish. You mock me, but wait until you taste my chocolate chili. But wait until you taste it,
because then you'll really hear mocking.
No.
Now, I will say this, and then we got to get on to depressing news. But I will say this. It is my opinion of a food, if it's got chocolate in it, I always give it the benefit of the doubt.
That's right.
Because you add chocolate to anything, you are fairly likely to have something that's kind of tasty if for no other reason than it's got chocolate in it.
Then why did you mock me all the whole last time
that's
I brought this up?
It's what I do, Steve.
Okay, true.
It's just what I do.
It's true.
It's not personal.
Okay, that's good. Right. All right. Hey, this is some breaking news. We're hearing about this. It happened about 3 or 4 hours ago. There was a school shooting. This one, though, in Prague, Czechoslovakia, 10 people killed and 30 or more injured. at a school shooting in Prague. Be in prayer for those people. I mean, that's a lot of people.
Yes.
The gunman has been neutralized, as they say. So, all right. I have a couple studies I want to talk to you guys about, if we could. The first one is a study from the Council on Criminal Justice that finds that teens are three times more likely to be killed, homicide, murdered, now than they were in 1960. That's a long time ago, and a lot of stuff has happened in this country. But three times more likely, just your average teenager, to be killed by homicide than they were 60 years ago. Now, anyone want to venture to guess why that might be?
Does this article venture to put anything forward? I would think it's because of increasing lawlessness in big cities, which is driven by family breakdown. That would be my guess.
Also, I think the celebration of violence in videos, in movies, now social media, just the celebration of violence, and that you're accomplishing something by doing these things.
Yeah, right? I trust you guys. I believe that over what this article happens to say, which is they're calling it routine.
I want to hear Tim's prediction.
Yes.
Okay, are you talking about just a news article from?
This is
somewhere.
This is in Fox News is reporting this.
Fox News. Well, I'm gonna guess if they're not gonna say the reasons Ed cited or Fred cited, which I agree with completely, they're gonna say gun violence.
Well, no, actually, that's not. They would probably agree, but they didn't get into the method of killing. But what they say is they're blaming routine activity theory. Which means that you have a combination of a motivated offender, a suitable target, and the absence of capable guardians. Now, that might mean parents, but it also might mean police and social guardians, people who keep you safe.
Police aren't guardians.
In the case of guarding you from being killed or a hindrance of you shooting somebody, you could describe them as that.
Well, look, you go into major cities, okay, Chicago, which I know something about. You go into certain parts of Chicago. Some neighborhoods in Chicago have become killing zones, killing fields, where the police don't go in there unless they absolutely have to. And these gangs rule those neighborhoods. So kids are getting shot. Teenagers are getting shot and killed. It's no surprise to me. And, Ed, this certainly goes back to the bigger question of the breakdown of the home, the breakdown of the family, the total destruction of the destruction of marriage as the glue that holds the family together. When the family comes apart, we shouldn't be surprised that society falls apart behind it. And so in a lot of the major cities, they're just neighborhoods where if you go into those neighborhoods, you're taking your life into your own hands.
I've got another study that might back a little bit up what you say a little bit. There's a study, and this one is out of the Brookings Institution and Gallup. They did a study that found that children of conservative parents are at a lower risk of mental illness than those of liberal parents. So just 55% of adolescents with liberal parents, report good or excellent mental health. 77% of those from conservative families say that they have good mental health.
All right, let's just say this at the outset in this conversation. Some mentally ill, some people who are mentally ill, it's in their DNA. I don't know how else to say it. That's just sad to say, but that's true. And we all know people that were raised right and the parents did everything they could, but they have some kind of schizophrenia or they're bipolar or they have some sort of a serious mental condition that is separate from any kind of environmental
is rooted in biology.
Pardon me?
It's rooted in biology.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we all know people who experience, families who experience this. But this is a survey you're citing, Steve, of the general public and by and large.
Okay. Well, yes, and these are self-described. These teenagers are saying, I'm happy, basically.
Yeah, you know why that is? It's because conservative parents, again, by and large, generally speaking, have discipline in their home, and they have rules, and they teach them morals and values based on the Bible. And so when some people call that overbearing or strict, that's really not how you should parent as modern day parents. But listen, that worked forever. And if you want to look back in our country's history, I don't know, was it you or Chris was citing statistics back in the 60s and so 50s. Listen, we had law and order in our country. And you know why? We didn't have, people weren't scared to walk down the street at night. I remember my dad would tell stories, and I know millions of people, especially baby boomers and above, experienced this, especially in, well, probably in big city America back before the 70s. You had very little crime. You'd leave your door open. Not open, but you'd leave your door unlocked at home. Ray, you probably grew up in that, didn't you?
100%. I don't think we ever locked our front door, back door,
right,
growing up.
And if you went downtown, my dad used to say he'd go down on the square. No, he was raised in the small town south, but in the 50s, but he would say, we didn't lock our cars.
Right.
And we left the windows rolled down. And the only thing we worried about, whether it's going to rain or not, whether or not somebody's going to vandalize or carjack or take our car. I'm just saying the crime has gone out of control, and it's related to that, Steve, is the statistics you're saying. When kids are raised in very liberal homes where they have no structure, very little structure, and discipline, and they're not taken to church, and there's no moral values communicated, they're going to have more disorder in their minds.
And
it's going to lead to more mental health problems.
And I agree with everything you're saying. Let me toss another piece of wood on the fire here. I just came up with that metaphor. I'll tell you something else. Now, again, we're just spitballing here. I can't prove this, but my guess is that conservative homes are going to lean towards a belief in God, and liberal homes are going to lean towards a belief in a materialistic view of the world and the universe, in which there is no God, there is no soul, there is no eternal destiny. Right. And I'm telling you, when you're living in a society that is already falling apart, and all these dangers that you're teaching kids about, the world's going to end because of nuclear war, the world's going to end because of climate change, you're living in a racist country, and there's no hope for America, and they have nowhere to turn in terms of of God, the real God, I think that contributes to the despair that a lot of these young people have, sense of hopelessness, which can lead to mental illness.
I grew up in the 60s, and I think another thing, and again, just an opinion, was consistency in values. I grew up in a Christian home, but the values that our neighbors promoted were the same. When you went to school, the values of the school system were the same as at home. In other words, if I got in trouble at school, my parents got a call.
Yeah.
So we had a leather strap at my school, and so you had corporal punishment, and you got in trouble when you got home. But also the programs that you watched on TV, this is really dating me, Father Knows Best.
Yeah.
You know, those kinds of programs, those values were reflective of the rest of society.
Right.
So that you grew up with an expectation and a learning from all these different directions of what was right and wrong.
Yeah.
Let me throw another data point from the study out at you guys, too, because the conservative kids of conservative parents say we're happier, we're healthier. And when this survey asked parents The parents who said, my child does not get their way when we have a conflict, because every parent-child will have a conflict. So are you being strict or are you giving in? 80% of conservative parents said, very conservative parents said, my child does not get his or her way when we have a conflict. 53% of liberal parents could say that. So strict parenting apparently is it doesn't affect or it benefits the health, mental health, and well-being of kids.
Imagine that.
Yeah.
Ray, toss a log on this fire, Ray.
Well, is it any surprise that where you actually have parents who love their kids enough to discipline them, who love them enough, and I mean this in the good sense, truly love them enough to say, this is right and this is wrong, and to enforce reasonable values. And Fred, what you said is so true. Back in my day, I grew up in the 60s also. If I got in trouble at school, which I did from time to time, it's not like I could go home and say to mom or dad, look, you know, they treated me so unfairly. It was assumed if I got in trouble at school, there was going to be a price to pay when I got home. In other words, obedience brought rewards and disobedience brought punishment. That's a good thing for society. Somehow in the 60s, in the great resetting of social values, we lost that concept. We lost the social compact, if you would. It's no surprise to me that here in the 21st century, the kids of conservative families fare differently and better than children coming up in households with liberal values.
Yes. Now, we had in America, I don't know what decade you would cite, probably up until the mid-60s, maybe 70, we basically had a common set of values that same existed in Canada, like Fred's talking about. You had a common moral value system all across America, from New York all the way to California and all parts in between. Yes, some cities were more liberal, but they were known for that. They stood out, like San Francisco, for example. But basically, you had a common set of moral values that was accepted, and it stemmed from the Christian view of the world, mm-hmm. the Christian view of man, and that became under siege in the 60s and forward, yep. as secular humanism or
darn hippies.
Well, rebellion to authority. That's a part of it. So that happened. And then, but what I mean is basically the assault on Christianity, yes. and the Judeo-Christian value system. That was, you know, we just had the death of Norman Lear right. a couple weeks ago. And Norman Lear, while he was wildly successful as a television producer with shows in like All in the Family and Maude and others, he also said directly that he was putting in his shows social commentary that contradicted the Christian worldview, the Christian moral value system, because he wanted to change that. He was a humanist.
Ted Bear of Family of Movie Guide called him an ardent communist in an interview I did with him.
You had Alfred Kinsey. You had Hugh Hefner. Right. You had these are some names of people that Norman Lear. These are some names of some people that, and there are many others, who led the way in popular culture. And in Alfred Kinsey, did I mention him? And others who led the way in attacking fundamentally, and it began to, you know, in all aspects of the of American life. All right, we got 25. It's 25 after.
About
right?
that. Our vice president is now aware that we have an election coming up, and she was stalking. She was on MSNBC, and I want you to hear what she has to say about this upcoming election.
Well, I need some dressing for this word salad.
You might want to check the fridge. Cut 9.
You know, every election cycle we talk about, this is the most election of our lifetime. Lawrence, this one is. I have been fortunate and blessed to, during the course of being vice president, have many situations where it becomes clear to me that there are, you know, people of every age and gender, by the way, who see something about being the first that lets them know they don't need to be limited by other people's limited understanding of who can do what.
And maps.
Is that it? Is that paragraph?
That's it.
Try diagramming that sentence.
Yes. There were several verbs left out.
Yes.
An adjective or two.
This is the most election of our life.
It is.
Well, that's classic word salad from our vice president.
I bet she was raised in a liberal house.
Oh, I'll bet that's right.
Also, we have found.
I just say bless her heart.
Yes.
Heartbeat away. Bless her heartbeat away from the president.
Let me just tell you, you hear that down here in the South, that's an insult. You've just been insulted. Well, bless your heart.
Can you imagine if she was making these comments, like, say, in Germany, and there was a translator?
Oh, man.
Trying to translate. That translator was pulling out her hair. How do I say this in German?
Yeah, no, that's a good point. There's no translating that. That was a mess.
A part of, not altogether the reason for, but a part of being a great, being a leader worthy of being vice president of the United States is your ability to communicate.
Right.
I mean, that's just, you know, and she doesn't have it at all.
And that's, let me just say, that was worse than a word salad. That was like warm squash with garbanzo beans, right? and ginger.
And tomato.
I'm just saying.
Well, and then throw some sour cream on that.
Put sour cream on the top of that.
The office of the vice president announces a tragic sign language
mishap.
The sign language person now has to wear a cast.
Sorry.
Bless her.
All right. Hey, we have found the prototypical college student, and I'm glad to introduce you to this guy. This is, we don't even know his name, but he is so wise in what he has to say. He's going to solve all the world's problems, and so I'm glad that there's a bunch of them out there on campuses just like this. Cut 11.
Yeah, I don't know what to tell you. I was born with the ability to solve geopolitical issues, even though I'm not able to solve any of the problems in my own life. You tell me you're supposed to pay taxes every couple years? Every year? Solve the Middle East, Ukraine, Russia, inflation, unemployment, all without being able to keep a job myself, or a relationship, or keep a pet without having it die. Okay, could you just not cut off my card today, though? Solving geopolitics is actually easy. What's hard is getting to my coffee shop gig on time, and now my boss won't give me any shifts. I've never eaten a vegetable. But more importantly, I don't really have time to deal with all that mumbo-jumbo right now because I'm focused on bigger problems like what to do with the world economy.
God, the latest from the Babylon Bee.
Is that the guy with red hair that I've seen before?
No.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I do know. Yeah, but that's not
red hair and a beard.
Yeah.
What was he playing the part of there?
Your typical college snowflake that thinks they know everything about the world.
Gotcha. That's what I thought.
But their life is in shambles.
Yeah.
And they've never eaten a vegetable.
They're eating squash for breakfast. It's a whole sad litany of problems.
I'm with you on that squash for breakfast. Doesn't that look good? That's wrong.
No, that does not look good. Stop showing me the picture.
Add sour cream.
Hey, it's going to take me 20 minutes to thank everybody. 20 seconds anyway.
Hey, you do
thank
sound you. Better, though, Tim.
Yeah.
I mean, you sound like you got a cold, but I'm in terms of sounding better.
I've got 10 seconds now.
Okay.
Okay.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
I got 5 seconds. All right. I just want to thank all these people that were on with me today. How about that?
Yeah.
We'll see you tomorrow, everybody. Have a great afternoon.